Hey everyone, today I want to talk about how the absolute state of the world today has seemingly changed in the last few months, from being overtly woke and pandering to suddenly becoming unfathomably based in record time. One developer vows to ditch DEI because it doesn't adhere to what they want, and a CEO of a big company is claiming that these people are liars and are only doing it because of the current meta. And beyond this, Marvel Rivals' success story explodes and kind of all ties this all together too, and some sweet baby stuff. DEI, or diversity, equity, and inclusion, is dying. There's no point in sugarcoating it, really. The entire concept was flawed from the get-go, as it completely undermined and removed large parts of the population from the equation because their skin color wasn't considered diverse. And by remove, I mean white people mostly, and this has had the effect you think it would, and now according to one game developer, in this case CI Games, they're done with all of this woke nonsense. From Fandom Pulse, Lords of the Fallen CEO declares his company will not integrate DEI into its games. No, we will not. So there was an investors call involving CI Games recently. By the way, in case you don't know who they are the makers of the Lords of the Fallen games. Their latest game came out well over a year ago and sold pretty well. I think it was like over a million copies. Considering that game's budget and team size, that's really good. I beat the game myself. I thought it was decent, but it had problems. Apparently, it's much better now that they have revamped everything, but I haven't gone back since to check myself. But anyway, they had an investors call where CI Games Global Marketing Director, whose name is Ryan Hill, was asked some questions during this meeting. Investors could ask questions like, Investor 009 here, who sounds like a James Bond character, what is your stance on DEI in gaming? And here's what Ryan Hill said in response. We remain committed to producing player-first video games that prioritize an excellent user experience with compelling themes and characters created specifically for core and adjacent audiences. While some video games have recently taken the opportunity to embed social or political agendas within their experiences, it is clear that many players do not appreciate this, and as a result, we have seen a number of high-profile releases underperforming commercially during the last year alone. Our games will always be developed to maximize player enjoyment and commercial success, and as such, we will not be integrating any social or political agencies into these experiences going forward, having observed the high risk this can present. So Ryan just straight up said, yeah, we saw what happened to Suicide Squad and all the other sweet Bing Bong Baby games, and we kinda don't really want to be a part of any of that. Also, we really like money and want to stay employed, so no thanks. I think you're going to see this stance become more common as time goes on because, obviously, spoiler alert, Trump won. Trudeau, thank God, resigned, and even places like Facebook now are allowing users to actually voice their free speech. But we all know that had Trump lost, the iron grip on censorship would be twice as hard and three times as fast. While I, of course, appreciate the candidness of these corporate types during this time, the fact of the matter is that I and you know that these people will become and say whatever is considered politically correct at the time. In 2020, if you asked Mark Zuckerberg if men can become women, he would say absolutely 100%. But Trump is now in office soon, so if you were to ask him now, he would probably say no. But if a Democrat was in office after Trump, Zucky Boy would suddenly go, actually, yeah, men can become women after all. This is why you can't really trust these corporations, since they just kind of say whatever will save them at the time. If roundhouse kicking cats could improve Facebook's share price, you bet your butt cheeks that Zuck would be out here delivering street justice to our feline friends. Then you have Marek Tymiński, the CEO of CI Games, even confirmed this stance against DEI, where he said, retweeting Pirate Nation's post about this was simply, exactly no, we will not. And now that Marek said this, I wouldn't be surprised if Lords of the Fallen saw a bump in sales following these remarks. Another would ask CI Games about their approach to things, where they would ask, what does the new game production strategy look like in practice? How is it supposed to be better, and how will it benefit the company? Senior Vice President of Development Tom O'Connor would answer, we have a new player-first development approach which ensures that our products meet the expectations of our target audiences and can be tested, iterated, improved many times during development to ensure much higher quality than before. Additionally, since joining CI Games, we have set up a centralized development support office which oversees all product. working closely with our development teams but ensuring that our products are highly commercial and high quality releases. We have an extensive internal review process for our titles, constantly evaluating where we are and how we can improve. I would assume the reason for this new system is because the original release of Lords of the Fallen had quite a few issues when it came to quality, mostly in my opinion, where performance mattered. However, since then, the game has, like I said, been largely fixed according to what I've seen in more recent takes on the game. Another would ask the CEO of CI Games about hiring Polish devs, because they're in Poland, over international ones, and the answer the CEO had was a smart one, and he said, "There is no cost advantage to hiring in Poland for us when considering senior employees, and we always go for the best in class, every position we are covering with the best available candidate. Sometimes it means we don't hire someone really good simply because we are taking on board an even better candidate. You can hire for a slightly less if you go for freelance contract, but once you hire based on regular employment contracts, as we do there, are no clear benefits having that in Poland. We don't hire juniors as well." So pretty much CI Games confirms they will not hire using the DEI agenda way of doing things, which would get someone the position based on gender or skin color over that of talent and merit. CI isn't interested, according to their CEO, in this endeavor and simply just wants the best possible people for the jobs they need within their company at the time. Wow, who would have guessed that would be the right way to do things? It's almost as if hiring people who are the best candidates would lead to the highest quality of products or something. Crazy, I know. Someone go tell Rocksteady that before they go under. Maybe they can turn things around, although I doubt it at this point. Pretty much, it's in these companies' best interest to completely dump away all of this nonsense in every single way that they can going forward. Look at Marvel Rivals, for example, too. The game's new season is out right now. I've been playing it myself, as I'm sure many of you have as well. I mean, the game hit well over 600,000 players on Steam alone during the newest season's peak, which just went live. So people are really playing this game as we speak, and that's a lot of people engaging with your game. Good for them, and I mean, can you really blame them for playing it? I don't. The game is just fun to play. It's the way a game like this should be. Fun and full of idealized designs that make people want to play and pay for the skins to dress their favorite characters. So far, personally, I'm not really crazy about Mr. Fantastic myself, but Invisible Woman, I find to be pretty damn great to play as. For no particular reason, of course, but Lords of the Fallen is like Rivals in this sense too. You just need to make products that people can engage with and ensure as little friction stands between their enjoyment of your product when it comes to the messaging and the like. When I play Rivals, I don't have to worry that the Hulk will suddenly turn around, look deep into the camera and say, "Did you know that trans rights matter? Thanks, Hulk, but I don't really need that sort of thing. I don't want skins where the Hulk has trans-colored shorts." Or Invisible Woman as a skin where she suspiciously has a package where she wouldn't normally. The point is that what we're seeing right now when it comes to media is a massive tonal shift in how things are being presented, sold, and made already. I frankly didn't actually think the switch would be this quick, but I mean, we do know there's still plenty of nonsense on the horizon, of course, too. Because, according to rumors, taken with a grain of whatever and all of that, Sweet Baby Inc. allegedly still has their hands in at least 30 unannounced games as of the making of this video. We don't know the names of these games, of course, yet, anyways. But Master of the TDS, who's a friend of the channel and has been ousting these SBI-aligned games pretty regularly, I mean, him and his wife recently found that the game called The Crush House was one of these that was actually also made by Sweet Baby. And he said via Twitter recently, "I've told people over and over they have lost no contracts and are continuing to work. I got that information from a Sweet Baby Inc. insider. There are about 30 games they have a hand in yet to come out." Again, while we don't know the names of these games yet anyways, we do know at least one of these games is being made by Remedy. The Alan Wake and Max Payne team. Yeah, even after Alan Wake 2 flopped, I know. Here we can see someone's credentials who's a consultant in Sweet Baby. Their name is Maxine, as you can see at the very top here. We have an unannounced Remedy game that they're allegedly working on, so it looks like Remedy hasn't really learned their lesson and are still willing to work with the Stinky Baby regardless. This doesn't surprise me all that much since Kim Blair, the co-founder of the Ugly Baby, said this during the XOXO festival about this very thing, and I quote, "I was so worried that studios would stop working with us. I worried we seemed too toxic. I worried we seemed too dangerous, too much of a risk to work with, but that is not what happened. What happened was that, at least privately, every team that we worked with was quite supportive. The external silence, I'll say, was deafening at times and also frustrating. But such is the way of corporate, and it was still nice fundamentally, I think, to realize that studios, teams, and individuals still wanted us around and still saw our value. End quote. Well, I think whoever looked at the graveyard of releases they've ruined and thought, you know what? We still want to hire you? Yeah, those people are idiots and have clearly drank the Kool-Aid like crazy on purpose. Remedy is likely cooked anyway after Alan Wake 2. I frankly have little interest in ever playing anything they make ever again. And at this point, the ingrained social zeitgeist when it comes to being aligned with Sweet Baby is reason enough for everyone to just want to avoid your game altogether. I'm actually interested to see if Spider-Man 2 sells well on PC, since everyone knows how Sweet Baby ruined that game's story and characters and the faces of the models too. But I think we've reached a point where games are going in either two directions. You either align with what is clearly not working out of the ideology and cult-like behavior and then you lose, or you dump all of that like CI Games has or NetEase with Marvel Rivals, and you kind of just bask in the glory. I mean, in case you didn't know, Rivals made around $130 million in its opening month, which is a very solid start for a game like this. Apparently around $30 million-ish was from China alone, and then the rest was from international markets. Case in point, Rivals is not stopping anytime soon, and seeing the value that they're bringing in their Season 1 Battle Pass alone is crazy. It's like $10 to buy, and you get 10 skins in the Battle Pass. Like, hello, that value alone is nuts, not to mention the sprays and the emotes. And the pass has enough in-game currency to obtain that if you complete it, you will have enough to buy the next Battle Pass for free anyways too. You see, when a game is fun to play like this, that people don't mind spending money on it. My one complaint of Rivals is that I don't like how the Battle Pass progression is pretty much time-gated based on available challenges, if you will. I completed every single challenge available to me in Season 1, Day 1, in like maybe an hour. At which point, the only reason I was playing besides fun in a progression sense were my achievements, the mastery stuff, that is, I think that needs work, honestly, and just leveling my profile up. I'm like level 21 on my profile, I think, if I remember correctly, right now. I kinda wish you could just keep leveling it up, but at least the time gating causes me to not no-life the game, so maybe it is for the best in the end for me anyways. Besides, I got plenty of old school games I'm running through right now. My current game is East Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana. I'm playing that after I just platinumed Trails Through Daybreak, which took me like 90 goddamn hours to do because I'm a masochist and a trophy hunter freak. Please tell me that anyone else out there is also a platinum trophy weirdo like me, or am I alone on this island of pain where I will just suffer until I inevitably die? Let me know in the comments. Also, currently Rivals is the number one most played game on Steam. I just know that Overwatch is sick right now seeing that. All those players, the money, the clout, the power pulled from Overwatch by Rivals, simply because they aren't forcing DEI agenda slop into their games while Overwatch over there can't help themselves. But I am actually interested to see if Overwatch in the future will just start adding sexy skins to win players back. Because when they got elite milk like Dagger and Sue Storm in their game, you gotta fight back, bro, before you're cooked forever. But like I said earlier, this sudden shift to conservative-esque beliefs are getting called out by some like Tim Sweeney, no, not that Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, you know, the people who make Fortnite, the game your cousins play every waking moment of their lives. And this is from PC Gamer. Epic CEO Tim Sweeney says tech leaders are pretending to be Republicans to gain favor with Trump, skirt antitrust laws, and ultimately rip off consumers and crush competitors, Sweeney said. After years of pretending to be Democrats, big tech leaders are now pretending to be Republicans, in hopes of currying favor with the new administration. Beware of the scummy monopoly campaign to vilify competition law as they rip off consumers and crush competitors. It is very interesting how things are shifting so quickly like this, but he's right. Like I said, these people, they don't have morals. Companies especially have zero morals when it comes to literally anything. They will adapt and enforce whatever they have to in order to get the up on their opponents. If throwing a kid into a volcano every Saturday gave Apple 1% more on their stock shares, you know damn well they would be tossing those kids into those volcanoes while yelling Kobe. Because these people do not care, dude. Like I said, when it came to Facebook, suddenly out of nowhere, laxing their language laws, you know that it's only because of Trump and the shift. And this effect is going to be everywhere going forward. We're going to be entering a time where things will become pro-free speech, anti-censorship, and anti-wokeness. This doesn't mean that these things will go away forever. They will just adapt and evolve like the Ninja Turtles or something. I don't even know why I just used Ninja Turtles as a reference there. I genuinely had no comparison anyway. The point is that they're not going anywhere. If Sweet Baby can still have 30 or so games coming out still, even when the actual number, according to Kim Belair, is closer to like 80, actually based on her past comments, now that I think about it, you can bet your gonads and strife that they're not going down without a fight. And I guarantee you that we'll be seeing sabotage across everything by Democrats in order to sway public opinion away from people like Trump and the conservative red wave that is, you know, engulfing everything right now. While DEI might be D-I-E dying right now, the truth is that it will never fully go away. Because there's always going to be bad actors who sulk in the shadows like liches waiting to prey on whoever and whatever they can until they can skirt back to their power. They're kind of like the Sith in a way. Just way more gay, and they like to dress in furry suits, but the same philosophy still apply, I guess. But like I've said a couple of times based on what my insiders have already told me, you're going to be seeing this tactic of Trojan horsing identity politics into your media going forward. You're going to be sold things that promise to not be woke dumpster fires, only to bring up those things either later on in the game, once you've passed the time limit for refunds, or they will just patch them in post-release, and then that will cause a whole other storm of SHIT, where we all know that too. Because ultimately, these types of freaks are hell-bent on people accepting their insanity one way or another. Even if it means losing credibility and player trust, it doesn't really matter to them. And I want you to always remember that no matter which CEO or company I talk about, a lot of these people, like Tim Sweeney of Epic stated, they will pretend to be whatever is socially acceptable at the time. If wearing a Yahtzee uniform was socially acceptable, these people would do it. I always joked that if, during the pandemic, if the government told people that butt plugs would stop COVID from entering their bungholes, that people would unironically go out of their way to always have a butt plug in their asses. And you would absolutely see people arguing online and on TV saying, "My butt plug is better than yours, as it has a trans flag on it." Oh yeah? Well, my butt plug was created by non-binary craftsmen. Look, I know I sound crazy right now, but look back to 2020 to around 2023 and ask yourselves honestly if what I'm saying wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for these people. They would be advertising different kinds of butt plugs on air, like on The View or something, if that's what they needed to do in order to get ahead in the social political war. We all know it. You would have Joy Behar look dead into the camera and go, "My butt plug has ribbies on the side. I find it more comfortable when I'm out with the ladies." And then the crowd would clap and someone would yell in the crowd, "Yes, girl, yes." I hate to say it, but we all know that it's true. These people are social and political chameleons. For example, Mark Zuckerberg was recently on Joe Rogan's podcast. I can't show you any clips, otherwise Joe will copyright my ass into oblivion. But Mark pretty much openly admitted that the government strong-armed Facebook into pretty much policing people's views and enforcing censorship across their entire platform. To the surprise of absolutely nobody with common sense, yet another thing that you were told was not happening that made you a conspiracy theorist ended up becoming true, and the same people who called you names or attacked you for years are strangely now silent on this matter. Go figure, what else is new, am I right? Now Mark Zuckerberg is trying to turn things around, but again, it's only because the wind is blowing to the right this time instead of the left. Facebook is even changing how they do things. Here, grab a cup of coffee, let me read you some of this Facebook things that they are saying, and I quote, "On hiring, we will continue to source candidates from different backgrounds, but we will stop using the diverse slate approach. This practice has always been subject to public debate and is currently being challenged. We believe there are other ways to build an industry-leading workforce and leverage teams made up of world-class people from all types of backgrounds to build products that work for everyone. We previously ended representation goals for women and ethnic minorities. Having goals can create the impression that decisions are being made based on race or gender. While this has never been our practice, that's a lie, we want to eliminate any impression of it. We are sunsetting our supplier diversity efforts within our broader supplier strategy. This effort focused on sourcing from diverse-owned businesses going forward. We will focus our efforts on supporting small and medium-sized businesses that power much of our economy. Opportunities will continue to be available to all qualified suppliers, including those who were part of the supplier diversity program. Instead of equity and inclusion training programs, we will build programs that focus on how to apply fair and consistent practices that mitigate bias for all, no matter your background. So you were doing it before. We will no longer have a team focused on DEI. Maxine Williams is taking on a new role at Meta focused on accessibility and engagement, end quote. Well, 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 how the turntables turn, dear viewer. Suddenly, as soon as the orange man wins big, the things that were of the utmost importance are suddenly no longer that important. Wow, I guess everything they said was a lie, right? Big shocker. But I've been attacked for years when speaking out against things, so at least it's validating to know that I was bang on the money here. These companies, let me tell you, they don't care, dude. I still and will never trust Facebook. They can eat it from the back for all I care. And even though CI Games, for example, said earlier that they're against DEI, remember that in their own statements, they said the reason why they're abandoning such concepts is not necessarily because they disagree with them, but simply because they saw that the implementation of such concepts have and will lead to the annihilation of their bank accounts and their social status. So while these companies are, yes, rejecting these things too, the fact of the matter is that this mass exodus, if you will, is only happening because it is socially acceptable to do so right now. Mark my words, characters will become hotter in games going forward, thanks to things like Marvel Rivals. And a lot of these people who would shame you for gooning will suddenly change their tune and go, actually, we always love sexy characters, you liars. You know that you're lying, but that's okay. That's why I'm here. Because I'll keep these freaks accountable no matter what they try to say or hide. Because the internet is like herpes. It's forever, whether you like it or not. Marvel Rivals will be a crowning moment in DEI dying, but it's clear based on those rumors about sweet Billy Willy Baby, they are still going strong and will not go down without a fight. So let's just give them what they want and crush them so definitively that they will cease to exist as a company, shall we? As for the woke chameleons changing their colors, always question them and remember where they stood when the odds were against you, because they will change their ways again if it benefits them in the future too. They are, after all, like the butt plugs in their asses, interchangeable with various functions and sizes. So never take them as truth, no matter what they tell you. But I thank you for watching. Subscribe, thanks to my supporters. Have a great day, reject butt plugs, and I'll see you guys in the next one.